Welcome to episode 1054. It's Thursday, August 20th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Here, Frank, a great show lined up for you. Yes, I am fresh back from New York. Lots to share. Kind of a rare live recording of the show in daylight. I've got a lot of things going on here. Lots to talk to you about. Lots to catch you up on. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hey, everyone, welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, your host. Glad to be back with you back here in the studio, back in a very hot, steamy studio. The trade winds are blowing just a little bit today, but not much relief from the heat side, so I'm probably going to get cooked out of here before before I get the show done. But hey, if you're brand new and you're checking this show out for the very first time, we want to welcome you. We want to make sure that you know where to go to get hooked up with the show so you never miss a single episode from here on out. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. You're going to find links on the website for iTunes and Android. If you want to subscribe by email, you can do that, or an RSS feed on a normal podcatcher. Please grab those and get subscribed. We've got a newsletter link on the website as well. The newsletter will contain everything that I talk about during the show today. That will be bounced out to you immediately following the show, as soon as the show is published. So that's the best way to get interact. Of course, we've got a great team of writers at Geek News Central that put a lot of great content on the website just about on an everyday basis. Maybe not every day there's fresh stuff there, but almost every day. And, of course, we don't want to forget about our partner shows. We are going to be announcing a couple of new partner shows in the coming days, probably next week, I would think. But we've got the new media show currently with myself, Mr. Rob Greenlee. We've got the Pro Gear Guru site, has content on Pro Gear. Then Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. The Elder Divide with Todd Ani. And, of course, all those shows are... we want you to get subscribed to, and you can do that right down the side of the website. There's a link for each and every one of them so that you can get subscribed to those as well via all your devices. So very, very cool stuff here going on with some expansion happening in the coming days, and we'll talk about that as we add those shows to the network. We're working out getting them ported over, I guess, for the better word, that's going on now. So excited about being able to have the family here internally at Geek News Central grow just a little bit. Of course, if you want to reach me directly, you can email me geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, I'm on Facebook. Just type in the words Todd Cochran. You'll find me. Same thing on Google Plus. We want to have a conversation wherever you are, so feel free to follow. And if I generally follow everyone back, unless you look like some sexy babe or something like that, that's trying to follow me just to spam me, which seems to happen a lot on Facebook these days. I feel flattered, but I don't think they're really my friend. So hope everyone's doing good. I'm a little bit of a whirlwind. Things are going on here. Things are crazy. I'm recording early today because I have to get out of here. I have to got a 2 o'clock. I have to be out the door. Going to be doing some stuff this evening, a little normal out of my typical schedule. So I wanted to get the show out, but I want to talk just a little bit about, I'll cover that here in a second. We'll talk about what happened in New York and just kind of get you guys caught up here with everything that's going on. I am literally like, wow, there's a lot of stuff happening. And as you can expect, it never ends here. It really, really doesn't from a scheduling standpoint, and just juggling everything I have to juggle. But it is all manageable, thank God. And thank God for my team member in Columbus, Mackenzie, who basically takes care of keeping my schedule organized and answering the phone when I can't and a variety of other things that go on. She's really the lifesaver in this outfit. And many of you don't know her, but she's part of our team that's in Columbus, and she's doing a great, great job. All right, so let me... I want to thank our sponsors, of course. I want to thank GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of Geek News Central, taking care of me, keeping the lights on, keep my family fed, and you're the reason why. Because they put together incredibly good deals every single month. We've had some of the same exact deals the last couple of months, but we want to bring to your attention, we've got some great discount codes, 30% off a new product purchases by using our code CJCGNC30. We've got 99cent.coms. So we've got a dollar a month for 12 months. Accounts like Website Builder. We've got Economy Hosting, Managed WordPress Hosting. There's really there a selection for everyone. And it's real important for you to dig through the details closely by looking at every one of those specific offers, going to the GoDaddy website, read the disclaimer. And at the same time, we want you to... you know, maximize your discounts. And the best thing about those dollar a month accounts with the Economy Hosting and with the Managed WordPress and the fantastic Website Builder for business owners is each of those comes with a free domain name. So you don't have to have a domain now. You should probably hunt around and see if the one you want is available. Be very careful. I would say only do that at GoDaddy. And then when you do find one, do not dally. Do not waste time, because people are like a group mindset. Something triggers you to think about a new blog, a new podcast, whatever it may be. And usually that triggers something you saw on TV or something that maybe you've read in a magazine. And I guarantee you, you're not the only person thinking that. So you want to make sure that if you find a domain that is going to fit, that you go ahead and pick it up. Now, if you don't find a .com, don't forget, there's all these great new domains. I talked to you guys on the last show about picking up some new domains here. Right now, if you type in tech.show, it brings you to Geek News Central. If you type in geek.show, it brings you to Geek News Central. So I scored a couple of really good domains on these new top-level domain offers. So those are great alternatives to a .com. And sometimes they're going to fit better for maybe something that you're doing. You can get all that stuff at GoDaddy. Use my promo codes. Come to the website. Click through if you need to. Or cut and paste the code at checkout. We prefer, I do prefer, that if you can click the link, that makes it a little bit better from a tracking standpoint. And we want you to lock in with that. But don't forget about those codes. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the stuff is there. All the updates. Matter of fact, we're going to be updating some of the... advertising display art on the website. That'll be probably a little bit later today. But all that stuff is available for you at GoDaddy for to pick up a great product or service. And believe me, it's beyond hosting and beyond domains. They have a lot more stuff over there. So that 30% off code can come in handy when you're picking some of the other products like mailing list management for service like Mad Mimi that they bought and have integrated. That's a great product. I use that. So definitely check out all the products and services at GoDaddy.com. Buy them from their checkout counter and apply my codes where necessary. We want to thank all of you for supporting us here and supporting GoDaddy. All right, so let's talk about what has happened in the past couple of days. Well, flew out of here Saturday night. Got into New York City Monday afternoon. And so Sunday afternoon, I just kind of had some free time. And I went over to the post 9/11 memorial. I went over to the affinity pools, and the affinity pools are incredible, really incredible. Many of you have seen pictures of them already. Your cell phone really cannot capture the essence of the affinity pools, and you just look at the way they've designed it. And it's just breathtaking. It really, really is, and the atmosphere is subdued. People were walking around, taking pictures, selfies, but not a lot of running around kids being naughty. It's got a park-type setting, but at the same time, it's got the, you know, the full memorial vibe to it. And of course, the, you know, the display of the those that perished on 9/11 that are on the panels that are up against are basically the protected barrier so you don't fall into the infinity pool. Lots of security. Lots. I was quite surprised how much. And I would expect it has to be because, you know, that is going to be a, you know, another place where someone's will want to do, you know, repeat harm to get their name in the news. But lots of security. So I kind of wandered around for an hour. And then I kind of realized that there was the memorial museum. And I had 2 hours left before they closed. And I got in the queue. And turned out that retired military get in free. I was shocked. Active duty and retired get into the memorial free of charge. And they had special lines for families of those that have perished. And, you know, they really had a had it set up well. Well, I went through, and they take you into the pit. And the pit is the area that many of us saw on TV, and you ultimately end up down by the retaining wall that holds the river from basically flooding the area. And you are in between basically the two retaining pools and all the displays around that. There are areas that you can take pictures in and the areas that you can't. Areas that have pictures of those that perished were off limits for picture taking, and they had every person that was perished pictures on the wall. That was quite moving in itself. The rebuilding video, they have the rebuilding of the area. Short 10-minute video was quite moving. Definitely almost bring a tear to your eye. But the second section I went into was the section that probably hit me the hardest, and it was the timeline. It was from Point of Impact on the first tower, and the and then the whole timeline through collapse, and some recovery. But then you turn the corner, and you got into a section that listed the bad guys and talked about their timeline. And I'll be honest with you, it freaked me out a little bit. I was very familiar with many of the names that were on the wall, pictures of people that were on top 10 wanted list in Afghanistan. And I couldn't get through it quick enough. And later in the evening, having talked to, came back to the hotel, went to the bar, had a drink, kind of thinking about my experience over there. And I was close. I stay at the Hilton Millennium. Guy kind of comes up to the bar with his wife, and they're there on vacation. We're talking, and you know, one thing leads to another, and I find out this guy's got a beard, and find out that this guy's an operator. Find out that he's a SEAL, and hasn't been in before 9/11. He came in a few years after, so he was a post 9/11 enlistee. And we talked about that for a while, but I asked him, I said, you guys go through the memorial? And he said, yeah. I said, what'd you think? And I didn't preamble anything of my feelings. And he says, I was good until we got to the section where there was the bad guys being talked about. And I said, how so? And almost word for word, he felt the same way I did. And his wife even mentioned that she could barely slow him down. I don't know what it was. There's something that they touched a nerve. And to be honest with you, I couldn't get the hell out of there quick enough of that area. They've got a great section for, the fire department and the police department, and talking about their involvement in the group. And that no issue there, but it was just that section of these bad guys that I can't put my finger on it. But they have done an incredible job honoring those that have perished, telling the timeline and the story of what happened. And I highly recommend that if you've been to any of the memorials in this country, including the Vietnam Veteran Memorial in Washington, D.C., the World War II Memorial, if you've been to any of the places like Punch Bowl, where here in Hawaii, where so many of the dead are buried from previous wars, military service members. If you get a chance, go to New York and put that on your number one visit list. It was good. But it really kind of brought things back a little bit for me. It kind of scared me a little bit, but they did a good job. And if anybody's been to it, I'd love to hear your experience. But anyway, that was Sunday. Monday and Tuesday were, absolutely jam-packed of meetings, jumping on airplanes, getting home. It was crazy, but I had a great time. Uber is simply fantastic. If it wasn't for Uber, I would not have gotten point A to point B, and I would not have made my tight connection air flight. It would just wouldn't have made it. And I walk out of a hotel, click Uber, need a car, 2 minutes. I'm in a vehicle. Whereas trying to get a taxi, impossible. But Uber, no problem. That is the way to go in big cities these days. And, I did rack up some charges, but no more than what I would have spent in cabs had I jumped in cabs. Found a buddy of mine that I actually knew from the 2001 era was in town. He's a retired guy that him and I were on different crews, and he was there. I went over and saw him. He was over in Long Island City, but had a great time. But getting back, things are just nuts here too. So that's kind of what gets you guys caught up. But Millennial Hotel, Hilton was fantastic. Great location. Best price I could find, so I didn't spend too much money. I did get into B&H, so I had a little time between one appointment. I was like two blocks away, and I bounced in there and did some shopping and didn't do too much damage, but it's a fun place to go in if you're into electronics and audio and video. A great place to go. And then that kind of wrapped it up. But whirlwind, a couple of days out to New York and back. Obviously long air flights, but got in really, really late yesterday, or and it's been crazy ever since. Okay, so that's it. Let's go ahead and get into the regular stack of stuff today I have for you. Hey, do want to thank all the Ohanas for your continued support. GeekNewsCentral.com/Ohana Insider. GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider if you want to become a contributor to the show. We do need as many of you to come in at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 level as possible. If you guys love this show, love the content, please step it up if you can and provide, or if you want to do a one-time contribution, you can do that as well. I do appreciate those, but those ongoing month after month support is fantastic. So again, geekandcentral.com/insider. All right, let's switch over and let's talk tech. And we have to talk about the Ashley Madison hack. And that data is now public. And it was dominated the news yesterday. But this is a wake-up call for all of us that web privacy does not exist. It does not exist. And being on the web these days, it's like playing poker. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And that's the way it's going to boil down. And the fallout, we'll see what the fallout is over the next months. But we definitely know that group is going to get sued. Because apparently the folks that asked to be removed from the list had not been removed from the list. And they weren't scrubbed from their databases. They were just still in there. So it, you know, and people paid money to do that. They made a couple of million. But today they released even more information, another 20 gigs of data, including email accounts for the CEO. So it is going, it's going to be huge, 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 huge from the amount of dig and dirt that they're going to find. It's going to be available online. I know they're fighting back, doing DMCA takedown notices. Sites have been inundated with people entering email addresses and credit card numbers and a variety of other information. But it just goes to show you, you know, what a breach like this, what havoc it can cause. And, it'll be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to see. Actually, not going to be fun to watch. It's just going to be, ugh, again, right? And what's next? You know, what's really, really next? And what will be the impact? Will employers fire employees? Will teachers get fired? Will politicians be put out of office? Sex sells, folks. Sex sells. And you just never, you know, it's just the way it is. So anyway, we'll be watching as the fallout continues on this particular story. All right, moving to the next topic, one that I kind of was like, oh yeah, they got theirs. Smart City. I am not a fan of Smart City. Smart City is a company that for a long time controlled the Las Vegas Convention Center from a internet connectivity standpoint. And I'm going to tell you, talk about a captured audience being abused. Well, they were abused. But the FCC fined them $750,000. That really was pretty small fine, considering that over the past 10 years, I've probably alone written Smart City a check for as much as $25,000. Maybe more, maybe 30. You know, it used to be $3,000 to $5,000 a show for internet connectivity at Las Vegas Convention Center. Whereas when the Clear Channel? When another company took over, and I apologize because the new company took over, it's been fantastic, reasonable, better pricing. But Smart City Holdings, a provider of Wi-Fi from convention centers, hotels, has been fined $750,000 for illegally blocking personal hotspots. According to the FCC, the firm charges $80 per day to visitors and exhibitors at convention centers in Indianapolis and in Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio, Orlando, and Philadelphia, in Phoenix. Those refusing to pay the fee would have their personal hotspot ability blocked, yielding them unable to access the web on the trade show floor. A statement by Travis LeBlanc, chief of the FCC Enforcement Bureau, makes it clear that this is an illegal act and will not be tolerated. It is not acceptable for any company to charge consumers exorbitant, and he uses the word exorbitant, fees to access the internet while at the same time blocking them from using their own personal Wi-Fi hotspots to access the internet. All companies who seek to use technology to block FCC-approved Wi-Fi connections are on notice that such practices are patently unlawful. And the FCC, the fine is really FCC investigation that filed a complaint from an attendee at a convention in June of last year. So again, this is the second group that's been fined for the practice. The first one was the $600,000 fine assessed to Marriott for blocking web access in its Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Convention Center. Same type of deal, trying to extract exorbitant prices out of the pockets of conventioners and folks that are attending to do exhibits. So good that Smart City has gotten the smack down. I'm very, very pleased. I'm not a fan at all of that company. You know, it's a business model that fortunately is going away. Exhibitors like me who need a wired connection, we're still going to pay. We understand that. But when it comes to Wi-Fi, it's just ridiculous. All right, Japan's top oil company is building an aliens power loader. Now, we've all seen the aliens power loader, right? Well, the Japanese are coming up with their own. And they're trying to, you know, basically make it easier for their workers to load gear. And so that they're making one that looks straight out of Aliens. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to accomplish this so far, but it's very, very cool. They'd already created a lift assist system. This is awesome. Awesome, cool. And it follows kind of the same designs too. Not as fancy. Doesn't have the weapons on it like they do in, you know what? It actually doesn't look like Aliens. You know what this looks like? This looks like the loader from, in the Matrix. You know, the weaponized, machines that they use to protect the gate. That's what that looks like. Either one. It's the same deal. But anyway, you know, TV comes to life once again. All right. According to the ABA Journal, prosecutors dropped case after federal judge ruled that a laptop seized at the border cannot be searched. So these prosecutors decided not to appeal this judge's ruling that a warrant is needed to search a laptop seized at the border. Rather than appeal, federal prosecutors are seeking to drop charges against South Korean businessman Jae Suk Kim. The blog of Legal Times reports. So this, remember this, we heard about this decision, but they're not going to appeal it. And the government had used evidence seized from the laptop to accuse Kim of selling weapons technology to Iran, according to previous reports. So if he was under suspicion, they could have took the extra 2 or 3 hours to get a search warrant, just like any other federal agency does, in order to search the laptop legally. And because they didn't, a potentially bad guy got away and is not going to be charged. Or maybe he is going to be charged a different way, but at least not from evidence from his laptop. All right, NASA is saying, calm down, calm down. There's no doomsday asteroid next month. So they say. Depending on what corners of the internet you hang out in, you may be in rank fear of the end of times brought about an unavoidable asteroid sent to hurtle itself into the Earth's belly, creating an apocalyptic scenario for a good chunk of humanity. The rumors spread around emails and social media and online articles with titles like, will a giant asteroid hit Earth in September of 2015? And confirm, 2.5-mile-wide comet expected September 15th through the 28th. So these were all junk. Here's a word from NASA. There is no scientific basis, not one shred of evidence, that an asteroid or any other celestial object will impact Earth on those dates. So anyway, be aware. Don't be afraid. Android Watch is about to become a personal translator. Slowly but surely, smartwatches are becoming more useful, and this might be one of the most useful features for global travelers. Google just announced it's bringing Google Translate Android Wear watches, letting you carry a bilingual conversation with literally a flick of the wrist. It's part of a new Android Wear update rolling out today and over the coming weeks that also brings awesome new interactive watch faces to the platform. You soon be able to tap on a watch face to access date like unread email, your step count, weather forecast, and then, of course, the Google Translate. So you'll be able to speak in, get the translation, speak back, and give them the reverse translation. So we'll see how well it works. That's the key. It'll support 44 languages, so this is going to be fun. I'm sure it's going to be full of embarrassing moments as well, as someone says one thing and it comes out another, as so often happens when this type of translation technology is used. All right, the International Space Station astronauts are mimicking nature to turn pee into drinking water. We know that they're already recycling on the ISS, but they're trying to use a new system. They're testing a new system called the Aqua Membrane. It employs nanotechnology and proteins to transform wastewater, sweat, and urine into clean drinking water. Proteins that regulate water in living things like human kidney and bamboo shoots. This aquaporin proteins are situated on the membrane, and as water or urine passes through tiny protein tubes, an electric static charge stops things like salt from getting through. The water flows continuously from side to side without using extra energy thanks to the forward osmosis. So we will see where this leads. but they're testing it on the ISS and could be deployed worldwide to areas that don't have a lot of clean water. Switching gears here, Google's been ordered to remove links to right-to-be-forgotten removal stories. Yes, you heard that correct. Google has been ordered to remove links to right-to-be-forgotten removal stories. So anybody that contested or had an article about fighting to get something removed or talked about the stuff leading up to that, all that stuff has to be scrubbed. So Google now has 35 days from 18th of August to remove links from its search engine to 10 or 11 articles relating to a 10-year-old criminal offense. So you can just cover your stuff up, the bad stuff you've done. You can just get it covered up. If you're in the UK or, European Union, all you have to do is say, oh, I don't want my DUI or I don't want this put in the public eye. You have to remove it. And they do. So very, very interesting that now free speech is being dealt with. It's a good article over on throb.gizmodo.com. And it's talking about understand why humans have a skewed male to female ratio. The ratio of newborn boys to girls slightly and consistently leads from around 106 boys that are born for every 100 girls. And if that seems odd to you, it should. And some people have said that there's different types of swimmers and different types of environmental stuff. But they've been looking at some new studies, and what it really boils down to is that in certain stages of pregnancy, the loss of the baby happens more frequently to female fetuses than to male fetuses. So in the end, more female embryos are lost to miscarriage, skewing the birthright racially slight to males. So they've come up with a study saying at a certain stage, boys are miscarried, and at a certain stage, more girls are. And what ends up happening is it's just because there's a higher ratio of girl miscarriages, sadly. And so it is an interesting thing. It's all about the odds, right? If you think about how big the world is and that we've maintained it's remarkable that it's that close to begin with. With 106 to 100. You would think it would be far, and I'm sure certain countries have different deltas. I know in China, for a fact, there are definitely more boys than girls, and sometimes that was from pregnancies being terminated because the Chinese culture wanted a boy. To carry on the family name and take care of the parents. And so there's definitely the ladies are finding it much easier in China to find a good man. And that's the cases in some other countries too. So there's this, that skewing goes on based upon, the environment and financial and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, but anyway, from a genetic standpoint, that's the reason why, at least that's what they're saying. So I thought it was kind of cool. All right, HBO Now is arriving on Amazon Fire TV and Fire TV Sticks. So that's cool. Great. And a $15 monthly subscription gets you access to the HBO's library of content. How many of you are subscribed to that? How many of you like it? How many of you like it better or as equal to the live stuff? Love to hear your thoughts on HBO and their offering, their online offering. Of course, everyone says carbon. Carbon's too much of an issue. So we got carbon offsets. We got new rules going into place globally that carbon is bad. But they figured out a way to extract carbon from the air using a process that is electrolysis. And, many of us did. The process works like electrolysis. A lot of us did in school. In high school, and rather than dunking a pair of electrodes in a bath of water, they're placing a mix of molten lithium carbonate and lithium oxide. When this compound reacts, it effectively pulls in CO2 from the surrounding air, and the electrodes cause solid carbon to gather around one terminal. And the researchers have been able to tweak the system, create carbon nanofibers of varying shapes and sizes, which could theoretically be used to build pretty much anything. Now, CO2 in the air is one of the key, what they say, is one of the key causes of climate change. And they feel that we're beyond a safe limit now of 350 parts per million that the UN has said, case in point, the UN has said. But in this review, if this is able to be commercialized and made bigger, they say in 10 years we could reduce the amount of CO2, but it would only take a facility, only take a facility that would be 940,000 square kilometers to accomplish it. But if they are able to figure this out and how to make it work a little better, we could have all the carbon fiber stuff we need. Well, maybe that's the way we're going to build spaceships to go to the next stars. It's pulling carbon out of the air that we're creating and convert it into materials that we can send into space. All right, Windows 10, a couple of weeks in use, and many of you have had a couple of weeks now to play with it. What do you think? A lot of people said it's about the same speed performance-wise as Windows 7 was. I would agree. I'm not seeing a big performance increase. Matter of fact, I'm seeing a little bit longer boot time. It definitely is a little more quirky at this point. Probably needs a few more updates. I know I got a big one when I got home. But, some upgrades went fine, some haven't. But, the start menu is it's okay. I'm still not using it 100%. I'm finding I'm going to the search the web or search Windows box a lot when I can't quickly find a program. But overall, gotten pretty good response. Even Mac users who made the jump when Windows 8 came out and they said, oh my God, get me away, and they made the jump over to the Mac operating system, to OS X, they're saying that they are very, very pleased and they love what they're seeing and are coming back. So that doesn't necessarily bode well for Apple. Now, at some point, Apple's going to have to now step up their game again. They're going to have to go back and rework OS X and maybe give it time for a facelift. We've lived with this current mock-up in Macs for a while. Maybe it's time for them to kick it up a notch. I don't know. We'll see. But definitely Windows 10 so far is getting a lot of good reviews. I want to remind everyone that you can email the show here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can email us or email me. A little shot of H2O here because I think I'm sweating it out faster than I'm putting it in. Definitely drop an email about the show so far or if you've got questions on any of the articles today. But we got a lot more stuff for you, so we'll get right back into it here. Hey, police arrest several site operators in Denmark. And these alleged operators were running two Popcorn Time guide websites. These were just guide websites. They weren't hosting anything illegal, but they were linking to stuff that would allow people in Denmark to find stuff that was, basically copyright infringing. So in Denmark, if you link to stuff that can allow people to find information to do infringe easier, you can go to jail. And the Denmark authorities now own those two websites. So pretty crazy stuff. Now, I'm not a Popcorn user because actually some Popcorn users are starting to get sued. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But if you look at getpopcorntime.co.uk, I think that website's still up according to folks at Torrent Freak, but it probably won't be up for long. But basically, it's linking to content that you can use with the Popcorn player. Well, one thing I'll say about Newark, airport's pretty nice. Considering some of the other airports I've been in, I know a lot of people hate Newark. I actually had no complaints going in and out of the airport. Everything went smooth. Wait times were not bad. But JFK, the situation's a little bit different around Terminal 4. At JFK's Terminal 4, passengers will now find 13 new information screens that provide surprisingly accurate wait time predictions for the lines at Security, Customs, and Border Protection, and even at taxi pickup. They're using people's cell phones to predict this. So I thought that was a little bit surprising. and this is the question is how they're exactly doing this. But JFK's Terminal 4 recently installed Blip Systems wireless beacons that record, encrypt, and timestamp a device's MAC address by keeping track and movement of multiple MAC addresses as they pass through lines in the entire terminal. The system can calculate wait times down the minute with some serious accuracy. So it must be they're just, are they tapping the phone? Or are they doing the Wi-Fi signal? Or how are they doing this? They don't fully say. It does say it's for passengers that left their Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on. It's touching them and saying, "Hey, who are you? Give me your MAC address," and then it tracks you. Little bit scary. Turn your Wi-Fi, turn your Bluetooth off, folks. All right. All right. Been watching the drone space. Tricopters, quadcopters, hexicopters are all the rage. A Hooperfly can be one of these. Or an octocopter, or possibly even a larger number than that. The Hooper Flyer is a modular creation, and spokesman Rich Burton says the design is open source and was showing off the Hooper Fly at OzCon, so the flyer's configuration is limited only by your imagination. So this is cool. So if you want to build your own, you want to go check out the Hooper Fly site. And I tried loading it earlier, and it was down, HOOPERFLY.com. But I'll have the link up in the show notes to the /star article, so you can watch a video on this thing yourself. All right, Apple has definitely got to release their new Apple TV. The Apple TV has dropped to fourth place behind Amazon's Fire TV. So last year's U.S. sales of the company's streaming media box slipped behind those for Amazon rival device for the first time, according to the estimates Thursday from researcher Parks Associates. That puts it fourth in place, also behind streaming TV box maker Roku and online search giant Google. So it's been a while since we've had a review fresh. Of course, they've said 6 to 7 million units on Apple TV. So it still shows that not a lot of folks are using set-top boxes. Got a lot of room to grow. Hey, Google Docs and Sheets have gotten an update. So I use Google Sheets and Docs a lot. And so it's giving you a couple more reasons to keep working on Google Docs. With Google Docs, you now have the ability to see a full-blown print preview option. You can access through the overflow menu. That's the three dots. And look for the new print layout design. As for Google Sheets, the keyboard is supposed to work smarter. When you touch a cell, the alphabetic or numeric key will appear depending on the characters already in the cell. Also, there is now an auto fill capability, more easily for moving data from one column to another. That's good. Sometimes Sheets can be a little quirky. You have to double-click columns and stuff. Not unlike Excel, but can be a little more tricky. All right. Switch that one because we talked about that. All right. So those of you that may be using the Popcorn Time player, be careful. 11 people who watch The Cobbler, that's the movie The Cobbler, now targeted in a copyright suit. The studio behind a poorly reviewed Adam Sandler movie, that's actually not bad. The app, which debuted in March of 2014, is sort of a BitTorrent for Dummies, created a Netflix-style interface. According to the civil suit, which was filed earlier this week in federal court in Portland, 11 anonymous Comcast customers downloaded the movie at various times this year. They are believed to be in violation of copyright held by Cobbler Nevada LLC, the corporation entity behind the film, and they're going to go after money. So it again begins. Another round of people going after content that is basically because of a copyright violation. All right, the United States has settled a fraud case with company behind the Snowden background check. Apparently, the Department of Justice has settled a case against a background check company that vetted Edward Snowden and Washington Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis. U.S. Investigation Services, USIS, which was accused of circumventing the review process for many of its reports, agreed for it to forfeit at least $30 million in outstanding payments from the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. That's $30 million? Holy cow. That's a big fine. But, you know, let's be frank. These folks are supposed to go and dig and find out information and get, you know, basically talk to the people that are going to be considered for security clearance, get the information about their background, make sure nothing was missed in the questionnaire, and then go validate that data and make sure that the person's trustworthy. So, wow. 30 million they've had to forfeit. It's huge. It's going to hurt. How big are they anyway to take that big of a hit? Also, the Department of Justice is telling the folks over at TechDirt that it cannot find any internal guidelines. In other words, the Department of Justice cannot find on this Freedom of Information request any internal guidelines for when it seeks gag orders for subpoenas. They say that they don't have any documentation, they don't have no procedure, they don't have no checks and balances, they just do it when they feel like it. So that's pretty amazing that they would not have some standing procedures or criteria that the Department of Justice would make when they want to issue a gag order. Instead, they can just go ahead and do it. If they think it's reasonable, right, just go ahead and file it. So that, to me, is a little surprising. Maybe not to the lawyers out there. And part of it, too, is I don't think the Department of Justice likes to be constrained by rules. I think that's a part of it, too. All right, a lightning strike permanently zaps data in a European Google data center. One of Google's data centers in Europe, Europe West 1B, suffered permanent data loss after power rip fluctuations resulted in sporadic I/O errors. The cause? 4 lightning strikes to the power grid distributed to the building's power. Although the data center's battery backup and auxiliary generation, Google writes that some recently written data was located on storage system, which were more susceptible to power failures from extended or repeated battery drain. Result, in a very few cases, recent writes were unrecoverable, leading to permanent data loss. That was 0.000001% of storage in its persistent disk system was affected. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it's 10 kilobytes for every 1 terabyte. But with the data center likely holding many petabytes, it all adds up that Google could have lost as much as a few gigabits of data. And when it comes to database stuff, oh, that could be the difference between your system being up or down and the cleanup and the, I would not want to be the IT guy that has to deal with that. We've talked about Hyperloop a few times on this show. Elon Musk Hyperloop is actually getting kind of serious. So the Hyperloop sounds really like science fiction. I think we all can agree to that to a certain extent. But Elon Musk's pipe dream is to, you know, basically leapfrog high-speed rail and go right up to packing us into capsules that fling us across the country. So it's starting to look a little less crazy. Hyperloop Transportation Technology announced today the signing agreements to work with Oerlikon Laboratories Vacuum and global engineering design firm AECOM. The companies will lend their expertise in exchange for stock options in the company, joining the army of engineers from the likes of Boeing and SpaceX already lending their time to the effort. So wouldn't that be cool to get into a tube, strap in, and just be like shot to your destination? I think that would be pretty awesome, to be honest with you. I really would. I would want it to have been tested a few times before I'm the guy that's getting in that thing, but it would be fun. It definitely would be fun. Okay. This would really make me upset. Any of you have a Xerox copier or scanner? A Xerox printer? Well, your toner is no good here. Xerox is region coding ink cartridges for their customers. So in Europe, what's going on is that they're buying Xerox machines, and the initial toner that they put in the machine that comes with the printer basically locks that machine to buying toner from the region that toner cartridge came from. So Xerox is using region coding on their toner cartridges and locks the printer to the first type used. So if you use a North America cartridge, you can't use a cheaper Eastern Europe cartridge anymore. The printer display does not show this, nor does the hotline know about it. When the folks reached out to Xerox, the marketing drone claimed this was done to serve the customer better. Yep, serve the customer better. Yep, we've seen this a lot. DRM type restrictions to serve the customer better. Have region codes on DVDs to serve the customers better. So they've got lots of issues. Hundreds of customers are buying ink that cannot be used. Absolutely absurd. And people are upset. They're very upset. And I just can't imagine. So you have a Xerox machine in Germany, and you pick up some cartridges from East Berlin. They won't work, or worse, from another location. So this is not the first company to do this. We think of some coffee manufacturers. We can think of some other printer manufacturers that have tried to do this. This usually does not end well. Final couple articles here. Google has given the world a peek at its secret servers. They wrote up a pretty interesting blog post that talks about the current network and how it can deliver a petabyte per second of total throughput. That means each of its 100,000 total servers can randomly speak to each other at speeds of 10 gigabits per second, 100 times faster than the first generation network it created in 2005. To get there, Google did something surprising. It built its own hardware from off-the-shelf parts. We already knew that. But Google considers servers as a key advantage over rivals like Microsoft and Amazon. So why is it talking now? For one, it's recently started selling its cloud services to other businesses so it can brag about them. It's also being pragmatic. Its data requirements are now so huge that it needs academic help to solve configuration and management challenges. That's why it's presenting the paper at SIGCOM Network Conference in London. And if you're in the mood or much of a deep diver, you can read it there. And believe me, this is for the geeks. But very, very cool kind of outline of how their infrastructure is laid out. But anyway, I have both those links up in the show notes for you today to take a check and take a peek at. Now, while I was gone, a few of you did email me. And let me look at the date. Today is the 20th. We didn't have a show on the 17th. We did on the 13th. So let me go forward here. Oh, it is just a couple of emails. I got an email from Jeff. He said, "Hey, Todd. Rejoice. Google just created a stupidly simple Wi-Fi router." And the article is up on Wired. It's called OnHub. So it's Google OnHub Wi-Fi router. It's supposed to be very good. I'm going to try to get my hands on one and test. So very, very cool find there, Jeff. I think it's available to be purchased now. They did use a partner on it. And then the second article I got was from Bree talking about a spy dolphin. Hamas claims it's nabbed an Israeli spy dolphin. Okay. So anyway, that was over on the Washington Post. So I have both those links up there. I'm sure that'll make the animal rights people very upset that they're using dolphins to spy on people or spy on other countries. So I haven't read the article yet, Bree, so I'll definitely check it out. I think the reason they use dolphins is they're so doggone smart. You know, they're very, very, very smart animals, for sure. Okay, that's going to wrap me up, folks, here. And yes, wow, great timing. I did good today. And I tried not to overload you on the first show back in. I knew I was going to chit-chat a lot in the beginning about what's been going on over the past three, 4 days or so. And thanks for being here. Those of you anybody that's up on the live stream today, I definitely appreciate you hanging out. I didn't actually peek. Oh, yeah, we got a number of people up there. If you wanted to say hi in the chat room, you could at live.geekandcentral.com. But again, if you got comments on today's show, please, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, if you want to see what we're doing in the podcasting space, follow @Blueberry, BLUBRRY. That's where our social media people do the work and reaching out to the podcasting community. But lots going on, very exciting time. and very, very busy time. And but I've got to get wrapped up here, get this thing produced so I can be out of the house to go where I need to go this afternoon. But it's been fun doing an afternoon show. Didn't get boiled out too bad, but I'm going to get some of this gear shut off so we can bring the temperature down here in the studio. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you on Monday with another regular scheduled show of the Geek and Central podcast. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.